Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Death Door Prods video game podcast. I, of course, am your host, the Dead Man. Joining me today, as always, we have Bobby Wong.
Hello.
And Shax.
Yeah, hello.
Okay, so you saw my post. You saw my post a couple days ago. Our Rocket Hub page is still alive and kicking because we just started it.
It hasn't been 3 months yet.
Yes, so our goal is to raise $2,000 in 3 months. All this will be going towards the site, like helping make this sound better, making the site look better, make it all purdy and stuff.
Right, yeah, I mean, seeing that we're doing this for the listeners and the people that come to the website, so basically them putting money into this for us and helping us out is really just them putting money into their own stuff and making their own stuff better.
Yes, exactly. Plus they get all kinds of cool stuff.
Yeah, I'm considering. I'm gonna take a look at my next paycheck and take a look at what Christmas is gonna do. I'm considering doing a personal one person giveaway from me, not from the site. From me, it'll be a giveaway. Not you know, everybody gets it. One person will get it. But we'll see.
Okay. So you're just gonna write down all the email addresses of everyone who donates, just put in like one of those giant bingo ball things, and it's like B4. No, wait. Yeah. So we also have some prizes. If you donate like $10 or more, you will get a CD, a shout out on the show, obviously a CD or audio file download link thing with like some bonus content and like all the best parts of the. All of his parts of all the podcasts put together by Bobby Wan himself because he volunteered.
Yeah.
And you'll also get to choose the topic for a bonus content podcast, which I guess we'll record on Monday since we don't have anything to do on Mondays. If you donate $20 or more, you get everything from the $10 tier. Plus, you get to choose a movie for us to do a commentary on, and you could do something really good, or you could be like a person from the internet and make us suffer. You know, make us watch, like, I don't know, the Black Christmas.
FYI, I've heard that Breaking Dawn Part 1 is the worst in the Twilight series.
Oh, you just had to give them ideas.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to give anyone ideas, but I refuse to do Human Centipede.
Oh, that movie's so good.
No, I don't want to watch it. I don't want
to. Sequel week, no. Human Centipede 2.
Oh, God, no!
Okay. And then for the $50 or more, you'll get everything from the first two tiers, and we will give you control of a podcast. Any podcast you want, you can come on, you can host, you can tell us what we're talking about, you can choose everything we do. And then that podcast will probably be junk because it might be terrible. No, we're just kidding. It'll go up everywhere. We'll post that shit on G+, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Reddit, Stumbled Upon, College Humor. I don't know. Your mom.
Oh.
Lemon Party, 4chan. Blue Waffle.
I'd rather watch Lemon Party stuff than... Human Centipede.
Don't give them ideas. We're gonna end up doing a commentary track for Two Girls, One Cup.
Oh!
Oh, no. I refuse.
I have been able to not watch that.
I have watched people watching it.
I have gotten very close to watching
it. Oh, like, my God.
That was one of those things that blew up to such a sensation that I was breaking down. Where I was like, just watch it, man. You know you're curious. You know you want to see what it's like. You want to see what all the hype is. Just watch it. And then, like, the day that I was going to, like, I got out of the work, I'm like, I'm going to fucking watch it. Fuck it. And then, like, my cousin called me. He's like, hey, let's go hang out. We're going to go to the bar. So we go to the bar, and he's like, and he's not tech savvy whatsoever. You know, I mean, he doesn't do shit with the computer hardly. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, fucking so and so sent me this video. It was called Two Girls, One Cup. And I'm like, oh, okay, what? And I'm like, what? Just, you know, describe it to me. So he describes it to me in detail. And I'm like, you know what? I don't need to watch it now.
Yeah, once I got really bored, so I did a Google image search of Two Girls, One Cup. Save search off.
Oh,
and yeah, I'm not gonna watch it ever.
Yeah, he who must not be named described it to me.
He watched it?
I don't know if he watched it or if he just read the description and then repeated it to me.
Well, he was just like reading off a wiki page that he wrote down in his hand.
You know, honestly, that would not surprise me.
maybe he was hiding it in his ponytail.
This was pre-ponytail.
Oh, God.
Hey, your dog wants to see it, though.
God damn it. Okay, so I mean, a lot of what we played for the past few weeks.
Your dog is so she can watch it.
My dog's a guy.
Alright. Alright.
Okay, Bobby, what have you been playing?
Okay, so Left 4 Dead 2, there was a new mutation out, which is so far one of my favorites. Basically, where a lot of the mutations tend to go for just make it harder with no real reasoning behind it. This one did exactly that. It made the game harder, but in a way that's awesome. Headshots only.
Is that already a thing?
That wasn't already a thing in Left 4 Dead, no.
Oh yeah, Left 4 Dead 2 had that.
It's been up as a mutation. I don't know if it's been up before.
Yeah, Left 4 Dead 2 has had that forever. It's like a realistic mode.
No, realism is not headshots only.
Oh, I thought it was.
No, it's not. Headshots hell. It takes a lot of body shots to take a zombie down. But no, it's not headshot only.
Okay.
But anyways, so, you know, it's fun. I run around with an axe just lopping a bunch of heads off. But it is a bit glitchy. And the most common glitch that happens is you take a zombie's head off, and then it's still alive. So you've got these headless zombies running around trying to kill you. It's like, why aren't you dead?
Wow.
So anyways, yeah, that's that. I got a bunch of stuff. Anyways, so other than that, well, next up, I was playing a lot of Team Fortress 2.
Mm-hmm.
And I had one really good moment where there was this random person online who's obviously a Teen Titans fan by their name Starfire, I think 64.
I was gonna say that if it was like, I don't know, like Star/Raven.
Anyways, so we were playing Capture the Flag in this match, and basically I decided to troll this person. They kept building a turret in the middle of the field, and I kept going as a spy and destroying it and not doing anything else. Just sitting there waiting for this person to set up another turret and then just go back and destroy it. Just go back and destroy it. Just over and over again.
That guy.
You asshole.
Funny thing is, later I sent her a friend request and she accepted. I only sent it to be more of an asshole.
And she's like, oh, that's good. But she's probably like that tech noob guy. Like, he plays really well. I thought it was a friend.
How do you know it was a chick? Was it like her name was like XX Butterfly?
Because 420? When I added her as a friend, there's this little subtitle thing you get under your name. It said Nicole, Teen Titans, something, something.
How do you know it was just a guy pretending to be a chick to pick up dudes?
Yeah. Like
because
you.
She could play video games.
Mission accomplished for both of you.
Oh, God.
What else? I'm getting to my new game last.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know I was going to say that. Anyways, so next up was Oblivion. I played a lot of Oblivion, and I've noticed a common sort of glitch thing. I don't know why this happens, but it seems that if you put in a name of a character or a famous person, it can cause a change in the gameplay. For example, quite a while ago, I created a Chuck Norris.
Of course you did. Did he have a beard?
The odd thing with Chuck... Yes, of course. As much as I could give him.
Did you tell a kid he had AIDS?
No.
Well, then you weren't Chuck Norris.
Anyways, here was the odd little glitch. You know how ghosts you can usually only attack with silver and magic?
Sure.
Well, right from the very beginning of the game, like, I didn't do any leveling up whatsoever. Chuck Norris was able to fight ghosts with his bare hands.
Well, of course he's Chuck Norris.
That makes sense to me.
Well, I can't think of any other reason for this, because it's not supposed to be that way. I don't know. If someone knows,
tell me. That's kind of what Bethesda does. They're like the Mortal Kombat, like the NetherRealm studios of RPGs. If you give them enough disk space, they will put as much stupid shit in it as they can, intentional or otherwise.
I want to say though, if I remember right, you could kill ghosts without like silver weapons. It's just silver weapons did more damage to them.
No, like, honestly, hit, no? You use the regular weapon that's not enchanted and isn't silver, or I think Elven works. Then yeah, it does no damage to them whatsoever.
Oh.
I was just watching like a bunch of like glitches from Skyrim. Like the flying horse. or the dragon who flew around like a recognizer from Tron.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it was just like his wings were just kinda down and kinda tucked him at the tips, and he was just kinda flying around
Man, some of this shit. We'll get to that when we're talking about my games.
Yeah, I think Todd Howard, I think he actually came out and said, like, we're going to be leaving some glitches in the game, but only glitches that are awesome. You know, because, like I said, Bethesda games are glitchy as fuck.
Like the cloning glitch. They never get rid of that in Oblivion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
They've patched it like 500 times, but they've never fixed the cloning glitch.
The cloning glitch.
Okay, what is that? Just for people
who
don't know.
You can clone items.
Oh, yeah, you can fill an apartment up with like 8,000 scrolls.
That reminds me of something that I am going to be getting into later, which is not actually games I played, but games that I've read about. So, moving on. Bowie, any play anything else?
Anyways, so just a couple more things about Oblivion real quick. So I came up to that because Link, I was playing through the main quest line. There's a spot where all your armor and stuff's supposed to be removed, and it didn't happen to be. And Martin Septim was glitchy as hell for me with this save file. He didn't show up to the big Bruma battle on time. I had to go and find him. When he made the gate to paradise, he only used one of the items. So he's just never where he was supposed to be at the right time. It was frustrating as hell, hilarious.
So you named your character Link and this happened?
Yes.
Well, what do you expect? Link, all he does is fetch people and stuff. That is the entire crux of the Legend of Zelda games. Just go find stuff.
So yeah. I decided to save my new game for last. That's because it was Naruto the Broken Bond, which I already talked to you guys about it. I said I didn't finish it, and then I really forced myself to finish it. And I hated it.
Review it.
I really hated it. But I finished it.
Write something on it, then.
And it was a piece of shit.
Yeah, so write something. Make your suffering matter.
Yeah, I would read it.
You just tear that game a new asshole, then email it to the publisher. Just say, hey guys, I know you didn't send me a review copy, but here's my review of your game. You know, enjoy reading it. Okay, so was that a few movie then?
Yeah, that's it. If you want to hear me rant more about Naruto, just listen to the Rocket Hub podcast. I got into it there.
Yes, which is available on our Rocket Hub page, which I'll be posting a link for in the description for this podcast. Or you just go to Rocket Hub and search Death Door Prods. So, Jax, what have you been playing?
Skyrim. Let's talk some Skyrim.
We have to. We already talk so much.
Bitch, there is never too much talk on Skyrim. Skyrim is like... Alright, let me start over. Bethesda games, in general, are always very good water cooler type games. which, you know, I assume you understand the term water cooler in Canada.
Yeah, you just, yeah, like, I think around here we call it, like, Tim Horton games.
When you have, like, a water cooler conversation, it means, like, when you're at work and you're standing around the water cooler getting a drink of water with other employees, you'll talk about it. Like football is a good topic for water cooler talk. You know, you're up there getting a glass of water, and you're like, hey, did you see last night's football game? You're like, oh, yeah, man.
Yeah, and so Tim Hortons.
I think the lack of understanding here is you don't understand that Tim Hortons is our water cooler.
Yes, you see what happens is during, like, lunch breaks or anytime anybody has a break, they go to Tim to get a cup of coffee and a donut. Then once they get down there, they meet up with their other coworkers because everyone goes to Tim Hortons because it's fucking Canada.
All right. Yes. See, yeah, you're saying Tim Hortons. I'm thinking it's a person. I'm like, no. Maybe they're not getting it. But
no. Tim Hortons is the Canadian Starbucks, only better.
Right on.
You know, like I'm pretty sure like a large cup of coffee is like $4.
Wow, seems way cheap.
Yeah, and donuts are like 98 cents. That's with the tax.
Wow, that seems. I mean, especially because like everything you guys have is more expensive than our stuff.
Timmy's
and Timmy's coffee is like 100,000 times better than Starbucks.
Yeah, yeah. You see, like the reason why stuff costs more here is because like that's the exchange rate. You don't really have to do an exchange rate for a Canadian product. Yeah, like a game in the States costs less than a game in Canada, but a cup of Tim Hortons coffee, which is made in Canada and stuff, but doesn't have to go over any kind of like exchange rate, any kind of thing. It's not like in the States Tim Hortons coffee costs $2 for a large and then $4 for a large in Canada.
You know, the funny thing about that though is that things made in Canada will then be listed with a U.S. price and then cost more in Canada. Example, did you buy Mass Effect 2? Did it cost more because you were Canadian? Well, nope. That was made in Canada.
No, nope, I didn't buy Mass Effect 2. I bought it from my roommate.
So, Skyrim is like, yeah, Bethesda games in general are always really good water cooler type games, like because there's always something going on. Like, you know, we were just talking about with glitches. Mm-hmm. I've only ran into a few. Some of them I already talked about in the last podcast, and I wrote a review for Skyrim. It's on the website right now. You guys can go read it. I didn't really get into it. I kind of, like, towards the end of the review, I think I kind of mentioned, like, I found a few spots. But there's, like, one glitch I found in this game where I finally got the balls to go up to a giant. And it pounded the shit out of me, and I almost died. And then I had my Lydia, the person that I had as the person following me, my companion. It attacked her and knocked her face into the ground. And so, like, I run away. Because, like, by then, the second giant runs over, and I'm like, fuck this. That one only hit me once and took over half my life. I don't need a second one come over here and clobber the shit out of me also. So I ran away. She's gone. I'm like, oh, shit, oh, shit, oh, shit, oh, shit. They killed her. Oh, shit. I'm like, it's been so long since I've saved, so, like, fuck, I don't want to have to fucking restart this. And I run back over there, like, maybe she's not dead, because the thing about companions in this game is kind of confusing to me. Like, they can get knocked down and have no health whatsoever and just kind of, like, take a knee and take a breather, and then they'll get back up and their health will start regenerating. Mm-hmm. But if they get low on health and get really low on health or have no health and you hit them, they're dead. Which is really fucking difficult sometimes when you're like attacking a character and they decide to step right in front of your sword swing and you're like, thanks, bitch. I just killed you because you're not paying attention. But so I go back over there thinking like, all right, you know, the giants, you know, they started chasing me and then they went away after they were like, all right, we're done with that asshole. He's a pussy and ran away. So I went back to where she was, and it's just, she's laying on the ground. But it's giving me the options to talk to her. So I'm like, all right, so she's laying on the ground, but she's not dead. I can't loot her corpse. So I'm like, fuck it, you know, like, she'll like, you know, I'm figuring it's like she's taking a knee or something, and, you know, she'll just pop back up, you know, I'll just head on my way to do what I'm doing. So I'm you know, leaving, I'm going to wherever it was that I was going in the first place before I decided to fuck with Giants. And I'm like, I keep turning around and she's not there. I'm like, what the fuck? So I cross this pond, and I turn back around and she's not there. I'm like, what the fuck? And then all of a sudden I see this, like, you know when you're walking through water or you know, you just a boat going through water, you have that, like, ripple effect going around it? Mm-hmm. I see that coming across the pond. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, is there something in the water? So I walk over to it, and I see her head. And what it is she's still laying flat on the ground, but the game is, you know, is seeing her as you know, alive and well and walking around. So, and like the rest of her body is kind of just floating underneath the water, and just the top of her head is kind of like slightly poking out of the water. I'm like, what the fuck is this? So then I'm like, I start backing up away from the pond, and she's just kind of like is going over the ground, like just like a snake almost. And it took until I got to the cave or the tower or whatever it was that I was going to and went inside it before, like, she popped up and was just standing there normal again.
God, I love Bethesda.
I'm like, what the fuck? Yeah, that's, like, the only really funny glitch that I've seen in my game.
If your companion sits above the covers. 4 feet above the covers.
Right. Man, Ghostbusters. Let's talk about that. Fuck games.
Ghostbusters 2 commentary coming for sequel week.
Oh. All right. I'd rather do that than many other ones that just crossed my mind. But yeah, that's like the only really funny glitch that I found in the game. I still haven't beat the main quest. In fact, I kind of like stopped playing it for this past week because I wanted to get through Saints Row the Third and Assassin's Creed Revelations as much as possible so I can start writing reviews for those.
I still hate you immensely for having those two games.
Well, Assassin's Creed Revelations. Let's jump into those games now. Yeah, Skyrim, awesome so far. My game of the year, 5 out of 5. Read the review. It's lengthy. I went blind almost writing it.
It is 2,400 words almost.
I read
it. Yeah.
Our longest review to date.
For the listeners out there and for Bovi, I got done writing that review after like probably a good 3 or 4 hours. And I took a break once after my first paragraph because I'm like, let me play a little bit more. Like, I just kept, because I don't like reviewing games without beating it, so I was just like, just play a little bit more. So, yeah, I took, you know, that's it. I took one little break after the first paragraph, the rest of it just, like, a good, like, 3 hours or so of writing the review. And, my eyes hurt. And, so, yeah, like, I got done with it. I messaged Deadman, and I'm like, done with my Skyrim review. It is on the site. Drafted. How about you go through it and you can edit it? Like I didn't want any more to do with any of that for the rest of the day.
Yeah, but like editing that thing. The hard thing about editing a game where the setting is the title.
Yeah.
It's like, because we italicize all our titles. So anytime you refer to the game as Skyrim, I had to, like, read through that paragraph to see if he was referring to Skyrim the place or Skyrim the game.
Yeah. What was the... Oh, yeah. There was another game that I believe that I reviewed before that that was the same... Batman Arkham City, when I reviewed that.
Yes, cause
I
Arkham asked City. You about that.
And yeah, I had the same problem with that where I'm like, alright, am I talking about Arkham City or am I talking about the game Arkham City? And I'd have to like reread like everything surrounding the word and be like, alright, I'm talking about the game here, you know, italicize it. So yeah,
the pains we go to make sure you guys get good content, give us money.
Yeah. Come on, Rocket Hub people. Come on, get it together. Woo!
Yes.
Don't worry, you only have to listen to us begging for money for another 2.5 months.
Yes. Actually, let me pull the Rocket Hub page now to see the actual date.
I know it's 85 days.
Just to be sure, yes, 85 days. You'll only hear us begging for this for another 85 days worth of podcasts.
Which is funny because when I refreshed the page today, I seen that it changed to 85 from 86, but I wasn't really paying that close attention to it, so all I seen was the change to 85, and I'm like, oh, someone put another $35 in there. And I'm like, I still say the 3%, and I'm like, oh no, I'm just an idiot, and I'm reading the wrong number.
Stupid American.
Fuck you guys. You guys got expensive stuff.
But cheap, great coffee.
Damn it. Why did... Man. Checkmate, sir. What was I going to talk about? Where was I at? Oh, yeah, Skyrim review. It's up. 5 out of 5. So far, it has to be my game of the year. Even though I haven't, the only set of missions that I've beaten is the companion missions, which is the companions are basically Skyrim's version of the Fighters Guild.
Okay, move on. Move on to Ask Creed Rev.
Yeah, Assassin's Creed Revelations. Ubisoft peaked with Brotherhood. So far in the series, Brotherhood is by far the best game. And I was really hoping that they were going to take what they did with Brotherhood and add to it, but make it better. But unfortunately, it's not as good.
Yeah, like everything I've read, like, so for all the things I've seen, there have been like a couple things that like make the game kind of worse. So, why don't I just tell you those and you give me your thoughts on why those make the game worse or better.
All right,
so first is the bombs.
Yes, the bombs are... They shove the bombs down your throat. I mean, at every fucking point... They're like, you can't go 5 feet in that fucking game without finding a chest somewhere to open up to get bomb stuff out of it.
Okay, so why don't you explain the bomb system to people?
I don't fuck with the bombs. I've made bombs just to make them, like, when there's a point in the game where they have you make bombs, and that's the only time I've made bombs. Bombs is a big thing that they made as kind of like in Assassin's Creed Revelations for many different purposes. Like, you can use them to distract guards. You can use them to repel guards. You can use them to kill guards. You can use them, you know, smoke bombs. You can just, there's so many types of bombs in this game. It's very, very, very overwhelming.
Yeah, there's like three classes of bombs. There's like lethal, stun, distract or something.
Yeah. And there's like 20 or 30 types for each of those three. And it's just, they give you one quick kind of lesson of like, hey, this is how you make a bomb. And that's it. And from there on out, you know, you're getting bomb parts and you're like, okay, what am I supposed to do with this? Like, which one of these go with which one of these? And I mean, it seems like any kind of combination of gunpowder, shell, and, like fragment that you want to mix together, it seems like the possibilities are endless. You can just add anything together that you want to. The one that's most entertaining, though, that I haven't made it or used it or anything, but just the idea of it is entertaining, which is like skunk oil bombs or something like that, where apparently it's like skunk piss that you're putting into these bombs that you're going to throw at guards, and that I assume is going to make them run away. Like, shit, go get the tomato juice. That seems entertaining. Like, I haven't made those bombs again. But there's everywhere you look, there's different chests somewhere to fucking get bomb shit. There's always, every 5 feet, there's a guy willing to sell you stuff to make bombs. It's just bombs, 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 and it's like, get the fuck out of here. I don't want to make bombs. I don't care about that. It's like, I don't understand why were they – I mean, in the other games, I think it was Assassin's Creed 2 or Brotherhood where they kind of – they brought in the smoke bombs.
I think that was
– That was 2.
Yeah, that was 2.
That's what I thought.
The first Ezio one.
Right, yeah. And so that was cool. That was fine. You know, it makes sense. You're an assassin. You need to make a quick exit, smoke bomb down. And now with – I don't know what – thinking. They're just like, hey, let's just expand this thing and then not even really give you a great tutorial on it.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, you know, Ubisoft, it's called Assassin's Creed, not Terrorist Creed.
Yeah, so what else?
Okay, so I'm looking here, the Hook Blade. Now, it is a cool addition, but from what I hear, you have to actually, like, have it equipped and trigger it to actually use it.
Well, you always have it equipped because it's a hook and a blade. It really all it does is it does the same thing as the double jump in Assassin's Creed 2 and Brotherhood.
There's a double jump?
Over. Yeah. You learn it in Assassin's Creed 2 like halfway through. You learn how to like you know how you kind of do the like you just like hand over hand and then there's like a point you would get to where it's like, all right, I can't go any higher.
What, you mean the thing where you, like, hold that, where you, like, hold on to the thing, then, like, kind of pull down and give, like, an extra high jump?
Yeah, you kind of, like, once he would do the hand-over-hand thing, where it was just a fluent holding, like, up on the right analog stick, once he got to that point where he couldn't just keep climbing that way, that you would, like, then just, like, tap X or something. I'm going by the PS3 controller. You would, like, tap X, and then he would just do a hop and kind of, yeah, just kind of, like, jump up a little bit more and grab the next ledge and then start doing the fluent kind of hand-to-hand over, you know.
Yeah, I wouldn't consider that a double jump. Like, I was thinking, like, double jump, you know, you're just running along and you, like, jump through the air. It's like, oh, shit, I can't make it. Then you just jump again using your assassin skills, defy gravity.
No. Yeah, I mean, double jump was a little misputting, But yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, well, I mean, the reason, that's why I call it a double jump is because, you know, like, you do your thing of, like, you know, you hit X to start climbing up a wall, and then you would hit it again to make that extra leap. It's not really a double jump in traditional terms. And the hook blade is basically just that. So it's completely fucking useless in this game. Completely fucking useless, especially when half of the time when it's like, I should be able to make this jump from here to here, I can't. And it's like, oh, I'll just go to the left or to the right here until I get to this windowsill, and then I'll be able to use my hook blade. And really all it does is make you have to tap X repeatedly while you're fucking climbing a wall. And it's like, I don't want to do that. I'd rather do it how – I always hold my buttons in place when I'm climbing in the Assassin's Creed games. So I've always, like, you know, like, held down on the L1 button for run and then held down the X button and then, like, hold up on either the right or left trigger button, whatever. And kind of just held those buttons in place as I would climb and make my way to where I'm going. I don't want to keep fucking tapping on X now to make these fucking hook climbing bullshit.
Yeah, you think the hook blade would, like, be better if it was just, like, automatic? You know, like, if you're trying to jump or something, it's just a bit too far, hook blade automatically comes out and grabs it so you don't fall to your death?
Yep.
Okay, so we also have the assassin minigames.
You're talking about the tower defense.
The tower defense and the management. Because, like, that was one of my big beefs Brotherhood. Like, it was kind of cool, like, having your own, like, whole assassin thing going out there. It's kind of cool, but it just kind of felt tedious and kind of flow-breaking every once in a while. Like, just, all right, go to a bird's nest, and all right, so I'm going to send you guys here, you guys there, you guys there.
Yeah, that part of it, I don't mind. I didn't mind it in Brotherhood.
Yeah, I didn't mind it, but it just kind of like broke down the game for me. It's like, all right, awesome, we're doing some awesome shit. You know, calling assassins, arrows fall down from on high and kill everyone.
Right.
Then, all right, so you're going to go over to here, you're going to go to there, you're going to go to there. I'll give you some more skill points.
And now, I want to say, I'm not sure, but I believe in Brotherhood and in Revelations, you can not do that to level up your characters. You could just call them and have them kill guards for you, and I believe that slowly levels them up.
I don't think so. Like, I was looking at, like, they And Denver actually said anywhere in the game that, like, sending him out to kill guys gets some experience points. Like, sending him out on missions gets some experience to level them up to get better gear so they won't die when they're fighting somebody.
Right. And, that could be just how it is, too. Yeah, I couldn't remember, and I've never really paid attention if they got any XP for, you know, killing guards for you. So in Revelations, that's not changed too much. You still go to bird's nests, which are always conveniently right next to a fucking bomb crafting table. I'm telling you, man, the bombs are fucking – it's everything. You can't go 5 feet without tripping over a fucking bomb.
Can you make bomb bombs? Yo, doctor, heard you like bombs. You can put bombs in your bombs. You can bomb people while you bomb people.
Bomb, bomb, bomb. Bomb, 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 bomb. My uncle is a bombardier.
Seems like the world has gotten very unsafe.
Yeah, especially with the way you throw them in that game. Like, watch the fuck out, people.
Yeah. It's like, yo, bitches, scatter. I got bombs inside bombs.
I was trying to distract some guards just for the fuck of it, and my bombs, like, bounced off the wall above them and shot back out, like, 10 feet to the left of them, killed, like, 4 fucking pedestrians. I'm like, wow, alright, I'm a terrorist now. I just killed, and, you know, the message comes up, like, Ezio doesn't kill pedestrians, and then, you know, all that shit happened.
It's like, you don't tell me game, tell your physics. Tell unreal.
Leveling up your assassins are basically exactly the same as it was in Brotherhood. It is tweaked a little differently with once they get to level 10, you can put them in charge of a assassin's den, and once you do that, you can go to them and do missions with them. I don't know if you could do more than one. I've only done one. I've done 2 missions, one for 2 different assassins.
Okay.
And that's kind of cool. I mean, like, it kind of gives a little bit more depth to the character that you're making as an assassin. Unfortunately, though, I feel like with Revelations, when you're looking at your assassins that you recruit, like, all the dudes look exactly like each other almost. Mm. Whereas Brotherhood, they had a very good mix of what the characters look like. You know, you could have a dude with, like, fucking blonde hair and it's long, or blonde hair and short. Or
you could have a dude that was bald. You could have a chick.
Yeah. And you can have chicks in this, and the chicks kind of, for the most part, look more they look more different from one another than the guys do. I mean, the guys could almost pass as, like, twin brothers or siblings of some type. Like, you're just pretty sure that they're all related to each other. And that kind of sucks. Like, that kind of takes away from it. But, like, being able to do these, like, little side missions with them, it's kind of cool, because they're like, oh, hey, I found so-and-so. Come with me and help me do this. You know, like, the one mission I was doing, where I had to just get up on the rooftops and protect him as he was following some chick. And it's kind of cool, because, like, you know, you're watching him duck in and out of these little places, like jumping into the hay and jumping back out of it and stuff, and like a guard will come walking up behind them, and you know like what I was doing is like just pulling out my crossbow and shooting the guy before he did anything, and it was cool. You know, it's just it's small, but it's fun. It was you know, something to, you know, kind of break away from the regular gameplay. Cool. But let's see, what else? What else? What was the other thing about? The tower defense.
Yes, tower defense.
That is fucking horrible. I can't even fucking beat it.
I've heard a lot of badness about it.
It's stupid. It doesn't fucking make sense. This whole thing that Ubisoft has made with the Assassin's Creed thing is you're an assassin. You work for the assassins, and they are. You're going through an ongoing secret war with the Templars that nobody in the general populace knows about. And yet somehow, some way that you're having these fucking you're having like streets full of fucking Templars coming down the street and bashing through your barricades while assassins are jumping off rooftops and shooting guns and arrows down at them, and they're coming in with these big ass fucking things to knock down your barriers, and then they're burning your tower down, and it's like, what the fuck's going on? Like, how is this not in the history book somewhere? Like,
yeah.
it just totally pulls you out of the fucking the fiction of the game. It totally fucking pulls you out of the fucking game itself of like, I'm doing tower defense now. I am no longer an assassin and I'm playing the game the way these games have always been played. Now I'm doing this tower defense thing like a fucking child. And it's so fucking boring and shitty. And they do a horrible fucking job of explaining how to fucking do it. They give you one quick tutorial, and that's it. And they're like, all right, you're on your own. Like, the only two that I beat was the tutorial version and the one I did after that. After the third or fourth one that I did, I lost. Like... And it sucks because, like, all right, once you lose, it just goes back to being a Borgia Tower or whatever they're called, and you just have to go reclaim it again by killing the captain, which is fine, but it's just like I just spent 20 fucking minutes just to have to go back and go reclaim it. It's like, how about instead of making me do this tower defense, just have it – they take it back over, and I have to go get it back again. I'd rather do that fucking repeatedly. And the only time that they go after towers is if you're, like, full-on wanted, so that your little icon in the corner is completely red, and that's the only time they'll go after it. Which, it's not like as soon as that turns all the way red that they you know, start taking over. You have some time. You can go, you know, go do things to get that taken down, that your wanted level taken down. Before they start taking it over, which and this is another thing that sucks is because like now the only two ways to get your wanted level brought down is by either bribing the fucking preachers on the street corner or by killing the witnesses or whatever they're called.
That's what you have to do in Brotherhood.
Yeah, but at least in Brotherhood and Assassin's Creed 2 and Brotherhood, you could also tear the posters down.
Oh, right, yeah.
Which was like a lot fucking easier because you just go through and you rip fucking 10 of those down in 2 seconds and boom, you're done. Where now you have to fucking travel around the city and you're like, well, fuck, oh, fuck, oh, fuck, oh, fuck, give me one of these motherfuckers on the street corner so I can bribe them real quick so I can, before these assholes start taking over a tower because you do not want to do the tower defense. So, and it's like, there was one point where I'm like running around the city and I'm like, give me something. Like, there's nobody to bribe and no witnesses to kill. I'm like, what the fuck? And then sure enough, it pops up on my little map saying, oh, they're taking over time. I'm like, fuck. Like, I don't want to do this. And then the second one pops up and I'm like, fuck. Like, shit. Like, fuck. Like, I was really pissed. I was just like, fuck it. I saved my game and I got out of it and I stopped playing it. I'm like, that's a bad sign for your game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, so we talked enough about Assassin's Creed Red. Let's talk about Saints Row the Third. How's shit in Steelport?
Crazy. Shit goes crazy at every turn.
Damn skippy it does.
I like it. I don't like it as much as Saints Row 1 or 2. Well, here's the thing, all right. When Saints Row came out, it was during the time of San Andreas. And I really hated San Andreas to the point that I returned it like 2 days after buying it. Mm-hmm. And then Saints Row came out at some point around then, I think later. And everyone called it a clone. Like, it was like a complete fucking clone of GTA. And so I was like, all right, fuck that game. And then I was over at a buddy's house. He had Saints Row, and I was like, all right, fuck it. I'll run around and kill people. And I fell in love with it. And I borrowed it and beat it, and I was like, I love this fucking game. Holy shit. Yeah. Second game came out. It was a lot like the first one, just, you know, minor differences.
Yeah, Saints Row 2 was fucking awesome.
Oh, yeah, dude. Oh, I played the shit out of it. I was even stupid about the DLC for it that was like 5 minutes long. But yeah, the third one's crazy. I wouldn't say it's over the top more so than the first and second one, especially the first one. But it's still kind of, it's grounded enough for me that I can play it seriously, you know, for myself, play it seriously. Like, this is a real guy doing this crazy shit. But the mission setup is different. It seems more linear. Like with the other two games, you would have your three factions, rival gangs, and you can go through and play those any way you wanted. You could go finish off one game, one mission at a time. You could, split up, go, oh, I'm going to do a mission to stop these guys, do one mission for this gang, one mission for this gang, and one mission for that gang.
Mm-hmm.
Where this one, you open up your phone and you have your mission, section, and you'll have characters that have missions for you, and you'll pick which person you want to do a mission for, and it kind of takes away something for me, and I don't know what. I mean, for the most part, if I do a mission for this chick, it's to go against the Tron guys. If I do a mission for this guy, it goes against the Luchadors. And if I do a mission for this chick or this dude, those go against the Morningstar. So, I mean, just looking at who I'm doing a mission for, I'll know who I'm going to do a mission against. But it's just, I don't know, because maybe it's not, like, posted on my fucking map. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe it feels like they're all on your phone. Like in Saints Row 2, they were all just kind of spread out in the world.
Right, yeah.
You actually had to put some effort into getting to them. Instead of, in this one, it sounds like you just go, do that mission, go.
Yeah, basically that's what it is. It always comes down to, I click on a person to do their mission, and they're it'll pop up on your little mini-map, a little, dotted line, to go where to go. It's usually to go pick up that person, and you go pick that person up, and then they're like, you go do that mission.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. There's something missing there. And yeah, I maybe that's what it is that I don't have to like ride around the town and go grab a mission or something. And it's just the way it's kind of like just in this one little section of your cell phone, instead of opening up your map and seeing, oh, I could go any one of these places to do this. It makes it feel more linear, I guess. And that it just kind of takes away from that, what I really enjoyed about the Saints Row games.
Okay, so let me ask some questions.
Okay.
Do you have the purple dildo bat?
Yes, I do.
Outstanding. Do you have the apocalypse?
No.
Okay, get those. Right now. All right. Yeah, also, you said you pre-ordered Saints Row 3rd?
Yes.
Did you get the Professor Genki stuff?
Yes.
How's the Manipole?
I only used it once. I ran over a guy and then shot him out of my cannon. And that's what you do with it.
Was it, so how was it? Was it awesome or was it awesome?
It was, I can see where people say it's awesome. I mean, it was humorous to me. Like I said, I kind of play these games with somewhat of a seriousness to it, so I want to ride around in like their real cars and not the Mr. whatever
car.
Yeah, the Genki. I keep wanting to call him Yankee.
Professor Genki's Mantastic Manipole.
Yeah. So I just when I first put the code in and I got it, I ran over a guy. I shot him out. He went like 5 feet and hit a building, and he like blew up into stars or whatever. And I was like, nice. And then I drove to my mission, and I haven't touched it since.
How about the octopus again?
I was just gonna say I shot a guy with it, but I don't understand, because you're supposed to like brainwash him, and it was like, this guy's brainwashed or something like that, and then the dude just walked away. I don't know if I was supposed to somehow control him or what. I assume I'm doing it wrong.
it might be just like you shoot that on their heads, then they like leave you alone. Like you shoot that on cops and stuff.
Oh, it could be. Yeah.
It's like, oh shit, there's a dozen dudes shooting at me. Bloop, 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 bloop.
Maybe, yeah, that's actually a good point. I probably should try that, yeah. But yeah, I just shot some random guy, and it was just kind of like, oh, he's brainwashed or whatever now, and he just was walking down the street, minding his own business like he was before I shot him. Yeah. What else you got?
That's it. Anything else? Anything else you want to talk about?
Let me think. the customizing of your character seems way, way less than the other games. The amount of clothes that are available in the game seems not a lot.
Did you go out and buy more?
What do you mean? Did I go out and buy more?
Yeah, like did you go back to like the different clothing stores in town and buy stuff from there?
Yeah, well, like in this game, there's only two of them that I found. There's the Leather and Lace, I think is what it's called, and then the Planet Saints. And both of those places sell everything. We're like, all right, with the Saints Row, the first and second game, you would have your clothing shops, but you'd have like three different kinds of clothing shops where you could buy your ghetto clothes or your suits, you know, your really fine, nice suits, or your casual clothes. And then you would have your jewelry stores that would, you know, you'd be able to buy different kind of jewelry and watches and rings and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then you would have the mall, which was the mall was never on your map, like, as a place to go, but if you stumble across it, you could go into the mall, and that's where you buy your, like, your ninja outfit and stuff like that. This game, yeah, you basically got those two stores, and they sell, you know, the Saints place sells, like, the Saints clothes, and then you got the Leather and Lace, which sells bullshit, you know, like, leather chaps and stuff like that, and some cool clothes, but nothing, you know.
I can buy a kid mask and assless chaps.
Yeah, you can. I believe there's a costume shop. I haven't found the costume shop, but I found a building with a costume shop sign on it where I was like, oh shit, a new store. And there was no icon anywhere on the map, but I figured it was kind of like the mall of it, like it was in Saints Row 2, where the mall didn't have any icon, but you could go into the mall and it was a huge mall. But I couldn't get into the building at all. So I assume somewhere in this world there's a costume shop. Which, if anyone out there that's listening that downloaded the character creator before the game came out for either Xbox or PSN, there was different costumes in that you could toy with, you know, like cats with giant heads and shit like that. So somewhere along the line, you can buy costumes in this game.
The cat with giant head is the pre-order stuff.
No, not that cat, a different cat. Oh, just okay. Like a regular... I want to say regular cat, but it's a cat with a giant head. How regular is that? It's just not the pre-order cat.
You haven't been to Japan.
Dude, their cats are insane. Their cats are buses.
Yeah, when I first seen the trailer for this, the pre-order stuff, I'm like, oh my god, could you be any more Japanese?
That was a joke. All right. Anything else?
No, I guess not. The cars, the physics, all of it's basically the same. I think anyone that's listening, if you liked the other Saints Row games, that you'll like this one. I really don't think Saints Row 3rd for me is not hitting what Saints Row 1 and 2, especially 2. Did for me, like I love 2 a lot, and yeah, it's just not hitting the same way for me, but it's still fun, and it's still crazy, and it's still over the top. And if you want to fucking do crazy, crazy, crazy shit, this is a game to do that. Yeah.
Okay, so I guess on to me. So for what I played out, I played a few demos. I got the Sideway New York demo, which I talked about this on the Rocket Hub thing. So it is a side-scrolling platformer, you know, a thing where you play as like a tag artist who got sucked inside a magical billboard, and now you're like, fighting and interacting with like different tags for different street artists, and it's actually really cool. Like,
it sounds really cool.
Yeah, like visually, it's one of the like most interesting games I've seen in a while.
That's what I was just about to ask you, is what the visuals were, because it reminds me of like. Comic Remix, I believe, the Sega game, the old Sega Genesis game, where the guy gets sucked into the comic books.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. It's like Comic Zone or something.
Yeah, Comic Zone. That's what it is.
Yeah. So the art style, it's like, so the entire world, like all the buildings and stuff, like all the stuff in regular New York is all like polygonal. But then, as the actual like stuff you're fighting, the stuff you are playing, like the character you're playing as, that's all done like 2D. I think like it might be like really high res sprites. like, I don't know, maybe it's like some arc system work stuff, only, you know, not anime and tag, like, less anime and more American street art.
Right on.
And yeah, it is really cool. So what you do, you have, like, some basic moves. You have, like, the running, the jumping, the, you have, like, a basic attack button. You have, like, a dash. You have a dash move. You have a slide move. And, yeah, that's it basically just works like a platform. You know, you're collecting stuff. You collect 100 of stuff. You get more stuff. There are checkpoints. There are enemies. There are time jumping things where you have to, like, all right, so there's, like, a sequence of, like, one of the things that kill you is water in this game because water dries off paint. Like, water, like, washes off paint. So,
okay.
And you are made of paint.
Cool.
Yeah, so, like, so then there will be, like, nozzles of, so there will be, like, fire hose things or, like water pipes that are, like, leaking. So they, like, drop some water, then stop, then drop some more water and stop. So you have to, like, time your jumps, and you have time your running and jumping and all those to make sure you don't, so that you are in, like, the dry areas when you need to be, and you are, like, in not in wet areas when they're painting stuff. You can, and later on in the game, like, I watched, like, some gameplay footage of it, you can, like, create platforms. Like, there will be certain places where you can tag, where you can, like, put your mark. So you just, like, jump along, you jump, you hit the button, so, like, create a platform underneath you. Then you just keep doing that for a few bits, like, get it to where you're going. And, like, I really want to buy this game if I had the money.
Right.
But it is really cool.
Real quick, when you're talking about making platforms, in Assassin's Creed Revelations, there are 5 different sections where you get to play as Desmond. And it's supposed to kind of like sum up his story or his backstory. And there, it's like puzzlers where you get to make shapes. You get to make 2 different shapes. And you use that to walk around this world and like in different sections of the game or of the puzzle area that you're walking in will either make these puzzle pieces float up, float down, left or right, or totally just fall apart and into pieces. And it's first person, and it's just really fucking stupid and bad. Another thing that makes that game bad.
Yes. Okay, so I also got the also played the Saints Row the Third demo, which is just the character creation.
Right on. What'd you make?
I made a chick who had black demon eyes, like demon face paint, a bloody nose, huge tits, kabuki hair, and then put her in like a jacket and pants.
Okay.
With combat boots.
Sorry, for a second there, I thought you said straight jacket, which would have surprised me less. I would have been completely unsurprised by that character creation from you.
No,
if you'd said straight jacket.
No, it's just a plain like button-up jacket, you know, something that you would see a woman walking down the street wearing in the middle of winter.
Now that you brought up straight jackets, I'm actually very surprised that those are not in the game. Or at least so far, I haven't found any.
Yeah, like that was just kind of me messing around. Like when I do make an actual character, I'm going to be making a Cockney with a goatee and a mohawk with a British without any shirt on. Yeah, because like in Saints Row the 2, my character was a Cockney with a huge mohawk, goatee, and no shirt, and just walking around in torn black jeans.
See, I always make my dude, like, legit. Like, I make my dude look normal as fuck.
I know. Like, the reason why I didn't wear a shirt was because on my back I had a giant Chinese dragon tattoo.
Right.
On my front I had, like, a demon chick tattooed on there, and then on both my arms I had huge tribal tats.
Yeah, that kind of sucks about this game. Like, you can make, you know, put all these cool tattoos on your character, but it's like you don't want them wearing clothes. Because you can't see them there.
And you can have them, we'll just run around naked.
Yeah. There are parts where your character is walking around drugged up and naked. And you're shooting and blowing shit up.
Yeah, so and I was kind of a little disappointed there wasn't actually any gameplay in it. Like I'm kind of upset that you didn't like get to create a character and then play one mission.
Yeah.
It would just create a character and then that is it. But,
yeah, it's kind of stupid because, like, once you're done, you can upload it. So I did that with a couple of characters I made. But I'm not registered with fucking Ubisoft's website. And, of course, this thing never fucking decided to mention that to me.
You mean EA? Because Ubisoft doesn't make Saints Row.
Oh, THQ is what
THQ.
I'm thinking. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's
toy head quality.
Yeah, so I don't know why they even let – I feel like they should have, like, let me know when I try to upload and be like, oh, you need to sign in and register or shit like that. No, it just says, oh, yeah, upload complete. So once the game did come out, I tried fucking getting on there to get my characters that I made. Couldn't do it because I was never registered with their fucking website. It's just like...
Yeah, so moving on, the Humble Bundle people released a new bundle, the Humble Introversion Bundle. Ah, phone went off.
I thought it was a horn.
No, my phone's on vibrate on a wooden table. Alright, so the Humble Introversion Bundle, the standard four games, are Darwinia, Multiwinia, Uplink, and Defcon. So I have tried two of those games. Darwinia and Uplink. So Darwinia, it's like a kind of like RT, it's a kind of like weird StarCraft-esque kind of thing. Like it's a strategy game where like you create units and then you move those units out to destroy a virus, like a red virus, because you're playing in the internet. And you like try to protect like you know, these little green people that don't really move outside their like little perimeter. Which is good, because so it's not an escort quest. And it's all made with, like, voxels, I think, which makes it look really cool. I think the guys are at least made from voxels. And, like, everyone else, like, everything else, it kind of looks like a more high-quality episode of Reboot.
Never seen it.
And never seen Reboot?
No.
It was in the 90s. You were too old for it.
Okay.
So Darwin is kind of cool. I tried to play Uplink. I didn't actually get into playing Uplink because I was in a law lecture at the time I tried to play it. The guys also just released a new game to come along with the Humble Introversion bundle called Dungeons of Dreadmoor, which I actually have played and I actually kind of like. So it is a roguelike, a real-time roguelike kind of thing. Well, not really real-like, not really real-time. It's like, so roguelikes, for those of you who don't know, is essentially just a game with randomized encounters and permanent death. So if you die, you have to create an entirely new character.
Why do people do this to themselves?
I don't know, because fun, maybe. Well, anyway, with this game, it's like the entire thing is like grid based, like so like there's little squares for each, like little squares for each thing. Every time you move one square, that's a turn, and it's really quick. So you can move like five spaces and five turns have passed. And every time you move, the enemies move.
kind of like the ghosts in Mario World.
Not really, because in Mario, like, if you're looking at the ghosts, they don't move. If you look away from the ghosts, they move.
Right. Well, I mean, is it they move while you're moving, or is it that you make a move and then they make a move? Is it kind of like chess, or no?
In regular roguelikes, yes, but this one is, like, instantaneous. Like, so as soon as you make a move, like if you move from a square, if you move from, like, the square you're on to a square to the left... As soon as you make that move, the monsters make another move. Like they make a move at the exact same time you do. Hmm. And so, like everything is completely randomized. So you cannot play through this. You can play through this game as many times as you want, and you will never get the same game twice.
I don't understand why that is cool about roguelite. Why do more games not do that?
I don't know. Like, 'cause it's hard.
I mean, but they have them random? I mean, just... I don't know.
I mean, Skyrim kind of does that, because it does have, like, randomly generated quests and randomly generated dragons.
Yeah, but I mean, like, if you go to a cottage somewhere, and there's, like, three bandits, and they kill you, make you go back 45 minutes, if you go back to that cottage, there's still three guys there.
Look, if that was a roguelike, then if you went to that cottage and then those three bandits killed you, then you would restart the game, and if you find that cottage again, you would have many of your things, and the bandits might not be there. There might not even be a cottage.
I would spit on my TV. I'd be so pissed.
Yeah, Dungeons & Dragons War is actually really cool. I'm going to be getting into it some more, like actually playing it, maybe reviewing it.
Right on.
But yeah, it's kind of cool for me.
It's just the punishment level to these kind of games, like Dark Souls and Demon Souls, and I know those aren't roguelites or anything, but it's just I want to enjoy all games. I really do. But, I mean, it's just like, I know I can't play that game without getting so pissed off I'll break something.
Yeah. I can't help but think I would feel the exact same way.
Yeah, those games are not for someone with, like, but it's really weird. Like, I do get, like, insanely stressed. Like, I have actually broken battery packs from controllers over my forehead out of stress. But I can play these games and not get stressed.
It's hard for me. Like, I...
Okay, so that kind of does it for what I've been playing this week. But right now, I read an article on Cracked today. The 7 most elaborate dick moves in the history of online gaming. And I want to read them off to you.
Yes.
Okay, so I was going in order that as I have on the article. So first up, we have the Falador Massacre in RuneScape.
Okay.
All right, so. For those of you who don't know, RuneScape is a browser-based MMO, which is kind of crap. At least I don't like it.
I know nothing about it.
He Will Not Be Named plays this game religiously.
Is he one of the dicks?
I don't know. Oh, maybe...
Definitely.
Yeah, he's a dick, but I don't know if he's one of these dicks.
Oh, maybe not.
All right, so this guy, he is... Let's see. This player called Cursed You. He can max out different skill levels in this game. And so he maxed out construction and built himself this big ass house, and decided to throw a house party in the game.
I love it where this is going.
So then everyone came along, and then they start and like to have for entertainment. They had combat arenas. So in this game, you can only have player versus player combat in specifically designated areas.
So he
set up one in this house. So they were fighting, everyone was good. And then they so many people are on this thing that the server started to crash. So then the mods kicked everyone out, shut down the server, for it to get it to cool down. So then everyone who was in a combat arena then discovered that they no longer had to be in a combat arena to fight people. So then what happened was, all of these people, they started going out and killing everyone they could find. And the people they were killing couldn't fight back. So, given enough time, a level three guy could go and find the highest ranking player he could, kill him, and take all his shit.
Wow.
Yes. In fact, the most expensive item that was taken was a little green paper crown that was worth 1.6 billion gold coins, or approximately $1,416 in real money.
People would buy it? Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, people pay money to buy in-game gold.
Wow.
Yes, He Will Not Be Named has probably dropped a couple hundred on this game.
Wow.
At least.
Yes. And so this kept going on for a full hour. Just people murdering everyone they could find for a full hour.
But this all came about, they learned about this because they shut the servers down, right?
Yeah, what happened was the mods, they shut the server down, and then everyone kind of left, and then all of a sudden, one guy accidentally clicked the wrong thing, and then attacked somebody. He's like, wait a minute, I can attack people. And then he starts fucking murdering everyone he sees. And, as an added bonus, this happened on July 6th, 2006.
July? You mean June 6th?
Wait, June 6th, 2006.
All right, yeah, that's what the angle I thought you were...
I got my months mixed up.
Yeah, so this that's happened, a happy coincidence.
Yeah, so this happened on the same day as the release of the Omen movie, of the Omen remake.
I expected, and I think it would have been better if, one of the players in this house just started massacring everyone while they're, waiting their turn or something. and like just started ripping up, you know, killing characters, you know, or something. I thought you're gonna be like, oh yeah, and this, you know, it's this is the only place to do it, and like I thought you're gonna say like there's rules to it where you couldn't use magic or whatever. I don't know anything about this game, and then like some dude just went in there and started just fucking crushing everyone and then taking all their stuff.
Yes. Okay. So moving on, number six. I'm gonna almost read the titles of this. EverQuest Guide Gets Greek on Their Asses. Alright, so in EverQuest, the EverQuest people, they employed these guys called guides to deal with some players that I guess were like kind of stupid or some bullshit. But then one guy on the Terrasul server decided to take it to a new level. What he'd do is he'd lead player characters that he did not like up to the mountains. Then locked them in place, and where he locked them just happened to be in the path of a giant fire-breathing dragon.
How does he lock them in place, though?
Because they're given special powers. Yes, the guys are given powers that normal players do not have.
Okay.
And so, even if they weren't bound in place, the players were stuck between the dragon and a pack of Ragnar, which are essentially just velociraptors. Yes. And so then the players were forced to die, so the players would die, resurrect in that place, and then die again. Just over and over and over and over again.
Oh, what a dick!
Yes, and so then the EverQuest guys created more guides to take out this one guy that kept doing this.
Dude, that is such a ramp up between 7 and 6.
Yes, so, number 5, the Ecto-Containment Unit. So this happened in Ultima Online. So, in this game, in Ultima, there are slimes, which were kind of like a big steeple of MMOs like a while back. And so what would happen was, every time you hit a slime, it would multiply. Yes.
Okay.
And so this one guy, he decided, fuck this. So this guy who went by the name of Cray, what he did was he got a slime, trapped it in a house, and then started throwing the equivalent of grenades at it. So the slimes split, and then like kept regenerating health. So he split them, they regenerate his health, and they can stack, so you can have multiple enemies on the same pixel space. So he threw it in there and essentially just created a house that was literally filled to the brim with slimes. Then he opened the door to the house. Yes, so then, let me just read from this. So, the land was buried in slimes 100 deep, killing everyone on the server and then killing the server too. The next day, Cray demanded a ransom or he'd do it again.
What an idiot!
People laughed at him, which was pretty ballsy for people whose universe had crashed the day before, and so he did it again. The day after that, the developers announced that slimes would no longer split when struck.
Yeah, I see that. That's pretty fucked up, man. I mean, what was he thinking? Like, of course, that's what they're gonna do that, or just ban that guy.
Yeah, but remember, this is a guy from the internet.
True.
Okay. So, moving on to number 4. Fancy the Famous Bard isn't touching you, you can't get mad. This also took place in EverQuest. So there's this one server, it is the Sulon Zek server, which is a no-rules server.
Ooh, that sounds harsh.
Yeah, so essentially, most of the people there would just find people who had no idea what they were doing, and brutally murder them and take all their shit.
Oh, man.
Yes, and so then one day, this character came along called Fancy. He was a level 5 good bard, and his only skill was the ability to run faster than sand giants. So what he'd do was he'd go piss off a whole horde of sand giants, then run. Leading behind him an entire horde of sand giants, which destroy everything in their path.
Oh, man, this stuff is awesome.
Yeah, so then what Fancy would do is he would find someone he didn't like, gather up a horde, and then lead the horde right to them. Yes. Okay. So, moving on. So what happened was, some moderators decided that maybe this was a bit unfair. So the first moderator came on, and he just kind of said, "Cool." Since this was a no-rule server, Fanzi technically wasn't doing anything wrong. So the moderator said, "This is dope," then sat back and watched.
Okay.
The second moderator, however... okay, so I'll just read this. The second asked him to stop based on a rule on the no-rule server, which hadn't existed earlier that day, and Fanzi said sure. All someone had to do was ask him nicely, which no one in Zoom's second tried, although they had tried calling him a no-life 12-year-old basement-dwelling homo 1 million times.
Oh, man, that dude is a genius.
Yes, I'll keep reading. It's a little strange that people playing a fantasy game would hate him so much, since he basically recreated the exact plot of the Lord of the Rings for them. A small, underpowered idiot using unkillable allies to defeat a land of evil. Moving on. Number 3. The Shard Vigil of Harry in Asheron's Call. So, this game, Asheron's Call, what happened was the creators of the game, they set up a story quest in the game. Basically, so it was called Defenders of the Shard. Wait, no, never mind. That's not what it was called. That's the group that was called. So they set this game where there was like this big magical crystal, and it was split up into pieces. They had to go around and find all the different pieces. So a group called the Defenders of the Shard, they set up a camp around the sixth and final crystal, which was called the Shard of Harold. They nicknamed it Harry. and so what happened was they defended that crystal for as long as they could. So then in this game, what happens is monsters, they can actually level up by killing players. So what they would do is they would throw themselves onto the crystal, killing themselves and leveling up the crystal until it was so high level nothing could kill it.
What?
Yes. So then the developers, they tried to step in. They created the characters. They got awesome whole level shit. And they called some people in to help them. One of the people they called in, switched over to the side of the defenders. And the other guy, I'm not sure what happened to him. So they brought these guys in, they went to go attack and got their asses handed to them. So these are the fucking creators of the game. They have huge monitors set up so people there could watch these guys kick these stupid players' asses, and then the players whipped them at their own game. And then they tried, write a line of code to remove the crystal from the game. It didn't work the first time. The crystal resisted the kill code.
That's awesome.
They tried it 3 times before it actually started. They tried it 3 times, and it didn't work. They could not get rid of this crystal because it was so high level.
Wow.
So then they decided to build a monument and put the crystal on top of it. It was kind of just like they're saying, "All right, guys, you beat us at our own game. Here is your monument."
Nice.
Yes, and that is kind of why these guys are my favorite developers on this list. Yes, they got whipped to their ass on their own game by some dumbasses who just wanted to keep a crystal from not completing a quest line, and they got a fucking monument for it.
Well, why would they do that in the first place? Where they made it that the crystal ranks up with the people that die from it?
Because that's kind of what separated them, I guess, from like the other thing. Because that's actually kind of cool, like monsters that level up. Like essentially what you could do is you can make a rat level, you can make a rat, like a level 1 rat to get it to level 99.
Well, that is cool.
Yeah, I guess the crystal was classified as a monster. Like you had to go and just, it, like the crystal had like protection from it because it was also like the prison of some ancient evil.
Right.
So then, like, you had to go and, like, destroy it or something to get it to put back, like, kill it to get it to put back in the thing. So what these guys would do, so then these guys would just throw themselves at it, and the crystal would then kill them and level up.
I guess I don't understand. I mean, shit, how do I want to come at this? You would have thought they would have put, like, a level cap on the crystal. I mean, obviously, they did not expect people to go and kill themselves in like, worshipping and making this crystal stronger. But you thought, you know, like, say the level cap of that game is 99 or something. You would have thought they would have at least capped it at that or something so that a group of people could have got together and wiped it out or something.
They probably could, but, like, these guys were also... But, like, what happened was they were throwing themselves at the crystal to make it more powerful, and, like, even if it reached the level cap, then they would still have this entire group of really high-level guys guarding it at all times.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, like, it's like, I guess there was, like shifts. Like, they'd have, like, one group of guys just, like, standing guard at the gate the entire time, just, right, no one's getting in here. And then the other group was throwing themselves at the crystal over and over again.
Nice.
So... Basically, in this game, there was a religious order that was exceptionally successful.
Yes. They created a religion, and now everyone, and now I'm guessing that everyone who was once a disciple of Harry, now, like, every once in a while just, like, types in, like, slash pray, and then, like, they face the monument, and they just pray there for 2 hours a day.
Oh my god, I want to play this game now just to see that.
Okay, it's called Asheron's Call. I'm not sure if the servers are still up for it, though.
How old is this?
I really like to go and pray to Harry.
I'm not sure how old it is, but you can always check. All right, next up we have number 2, vaporizing 1,000 real dollars in Eve.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. So, for those of you who don't know, Eve is essentially an MMO where you pay to work.
Wait, you pay to work?
Yes. Like the actual gameplay of it is just kind of going to work.
Okay, like, can you go more in depth?
All right, so I'm just gonna read you the description that I have on here.
Okay.
So, Crowd Control Productions (CCP) infamously live up to their name with Eve Online, a spacefaring game where people pay to plug into a computer and pretend to work for simulated corporations. You could say they have a dedicated fan base, but only because clicking on the player agreement means it's legally not slavery. In an act of diabolical genius, CCP created their own currency without all the problems of being declared a rogue state and arrested by the Icelandic Ministry of the Interior. They created Plex, pilot license extensions. We can convert fake game money into 30 days of extra playing time with a cash value of $15. So now players can work in the game to be allowed to continue to work in the game. It's the closest humanity has come to the Matrix.
Okay.
So, they invented their own world and cash currency to use there. There are drug lords with less control over the customers. And you would think this was CCP's evil plan. And if you think this was CCP's evil plan, they hadn't even started stroking their fluffy white cat yet. The diabolical dick move was to introduce Plex as in-game items, meaning you could trade it and carry a cargo of real money through a universe of players out to murder you. When you destroy a ship, there's a chance its cargo will turn up in the wreckage loot. And note the evil eighth word in that sentence. Basically, because I don't think... Yes, so the evil eighth word is chance.
Yeah, that's... Okay.
So, players Slick Dog and Victor Vegas found a lone cargo hauler with 74 Plex... over $1,100, and promptly blew the shit out of it, and every single one of those dollars. Not one Plex survived. Over $1,000 was electronically vaporized because the grand had already paid to CCP, who professionally don't give a shit what happens to money after that. They've set up a system where they make money when other people destroy it, and you can't even occupy Jita because you have to pay them for the privilege.
I guess I'm still kind of confused on this, and I don't understand how that's real money that person was hauling.
It's microtransactions. Like, you can pay money to get Plex.
Okay.
And so what happened was, like, this guy, he had paid for 74 Plex, He paid like $1,000. He had like accumulated the in-game amount of money equal to buying that money for like, okay, so you can get money through regular play. This is kind of how microtransactions work. You can either play for an exuberant amount of time, like an insane amount of time to get that much money, or you can pay to get some of this in-game currency.
Right.
So then what this guy did was he accumulated enough Plex to equal $1,100 of real-world money.
So, okay, but do we know if he actually paid that, or he just for sure just accumulated it?
We don't know. This article does not say whether he does that or not.
Okay.
Yes, but either way, this guy had the equivalent of $1,100.
Right.
And these two assholes came along, blew him up, and not a single cent of it was left.
But it doesn't seem like it's a too big of a dick move. Like, I mean, they blew him up in hopes to get some of that out of the wreckage.
No, they didn't. You don't know what cargo the other ship is carrying. They blew him up for the sake of blowing him up.
Yeah. Well, that still, I mean, it would have been even more of a dick move if they would have blew him up knowing what it was, and even if they knew that they wouldn't get anything out of it.
Well, okay, moving on to number one, World of Warcraft's winner. I'm going to read this one again verbatim. So, there are two types of MMOs. In player versus environment, PvE, everyone's in it together fighting the monsters. And in PvP, you can kill each other, because everyone thinks they're going to be Mad Max instead of the guy who tries to catch the Razor Boomerang. Angway taught them the error of their ways. He was like dropping libertarians into Somalia, the embodiment of everything they claimed to want, and it was killing them. He camped a bottleneck route into Menethil Harbor, the only path to a couple of mid-level alliance destinations, and murdered every single person who passed every single time they tried. There was more online rage against Angway than against anyone else who's ever been compared to Hitler combined.
Oh.
There's no body part he hasn't been accused of sucking, eating, being, or enjoying his mother's. He received death threats, but World of Warcraft death threats are less worrying than fireballs, which could at least pretend to hurt something. Angway even had an alliance account so he could listen to his victims, and in an act of combat dickery worthy of the U.S. Army Psychological Ops Division, it was called Angway Spy. He was the incarnate of player versus player. People asked if he ever worked. Some wondered if he ever slept. They wrote entire facts on how to get past him involving teleportation stones, clone characters, and leaping from a boat and swimming to shore instead of going through the port. Players regularly went through more hassle to get past Angway than real people did to get into America. He was less a dick than a force of nature, a landscape-altering dick deforming the entire world like Zeus or Odin. Beating him was an achievement before that was a thing. So mankind aren't just the real monsters. We make the best boss characters too.
this is crazy to me.
Yes. Yeah, so this is the South Park guy. This is the South Park thing. Like, some guy with no life managed to find a way to kill player characters without having them accept a duel challenge. Which I think in PvP you don't have to, like, you don't have to actually issue a challenge. You can just roll up on anyone and just stab them.
Yeah. Well, I've never played on a PvP server on World of Warcraft, but I have run into situations where I don't know that I'm going into, like, a horde territory, and as soon as I do, like, you're flying for PvP. And if you run across a horde character while you're in PvP because you're in their area, they can fuck you up.
Yeah, so this guy was horde in an alliance area, and he also had a separate alliance account just to listen to people bitch about how much he sucks.
Oh man, that dude is fucking twisted.
Yes, so he created two different accounts with two monthly subscription fees.
That's like just a person.
It's like just so he could keep people from going into this area, and to listen to them bitch about not being able to go into this area.
Dude, that is like a arsonist having a radio, a police scanner, just to hear the call go through about a building he just burnt down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that dude is fucking twisted.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of twisted, on to some news.
Well, wait. Is that guy still around? Is he gone?
I don't know. The article didn't say, but he might be. I don't know. I don't know. I don't play Alliance.
Oh, man.
I'm Horde all the way, brother.
Of course, Stan beat him with the USB sword thing.
Yes. The Sword of 1,000 Suns or something. It was saved on the magical 1 gigabyte flash drive. Yes. Okay, so on to some news. So, film director George Miller is going to be teaming up with the remnants of Team Bondi to make a Mad Max video game.
Okay.
Yes. So, in an interview with Financial Review, George Miller, who directed stuff,
right,
revealed that he's going to be partnering up with Kennedy Miller Mitchell Interactive, which is a amalgamation of former Chrome Studios and Team Bondi employees, to develop a Mad Max video game, and he is also going to be working with them to develop a new game from the former Team Bondi leader, Brendan McNamara, called The Whore of the Orient.
Okay.
Yes. So, thoughts on the Mad Max game?
Well, is that all the information we have on it? Do we know if it's first person or third person, or when it takes place in the continuity with the movies?
Nope, we just have George Miller as part of it.
Hmm. It'd be interesting. If it's first person, they can go fuck themselves, because Borderlands sucked and so did Rage.
Borderlands was good.
I hated it. I didn't play much of it, but I fucking hated what I played of it.
Actually, just look what George Miller actually did direct, because I'm guessing somebody's hating us right now for not knowing who George Miller is.
Well, no, I know who he is. I mean, he did like Happy Feet or some shit also. Yes.
He also did Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome.
Yeah, he's done all the Mad Max films, I believe. He did all three of them. Mad Max, Road Warrior, and Thunderdome.
He also directed Twilight Zone, the movie.
Really? Interesting.
And The Witches of Eastwick. And Babe, A Pig in the City.
That's what it was. It's not Happy Feet, it was Babe.
And Happy Feet.
Oh, okay, so I wasn't wrong.
And Mad Max Fury Road, coming out in 2012.
A movie.
Yes. Mad Max 4, coming out in 2012.
That's interesting, because, I mean, I heard a long time ago that he was looking to make a video game adaptation of Mad Max, only because Mel Gibson turned down the idea of a fourth Mad Max film, so...
Yes, and the new Mad... Well, it's getting into bit movies, but... So the new Mad Max is going to be played by Tom Hardy, who also is going to be playing Bane in Dark Knight Rises.
And he's going to play as Mad Max?
Yep. Hmm. And Charlize Theron's in it.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So.
Maybe the game will connect the two continuities?
Ugh, probably.
Maybe, I don't know.
It'll probably be the filler between Thunderdome and the fourth movie.
So, just what kind of game would you want this to be?
Third-person cover-based shooter.
If you had to give, like, an analog.
An analog?
Yeah, like something that, like, you know how you said, people thought, like, Saints Row was, like, a clone of San Andreas? What do you think Mad Max would take the most, what do you think the Mad Max game would take, like, the most thing from where people would...
Fallout? Yeah, definitely. I always felt like I was playing Mad Max in, like, Fallout 3 and Fallout New Vegas.
Yeah, I can see that. Like, you have to do quests to get gas.
Yeah. You know what would really be great is if somehow that they can make the game where you hardly ever have ammo. Because, I mean, like, if – I think Road Warrior, he finds a one shotgun bullet at the beginning of the film and never uses it until the end, and it was a dud.
Yeah, that was true. Like, he like the entire movie, like the only real weapons that were seen were from like Lord Humongous's guys and that one kid with the boomerang.
Yeah, and that was it, and it was hardly used. I mean,
in that game, in the Mad Max game, you should be able to play the kid with the boomerang.
Ooh.
You like have like different classes. You could have like the Mad Max class, the Kid with the Boomerang class, and the Lord Humongous class.
Dude, an MMO in the Mad Max universe.
So you can play as Lord Humongous with the boomerang.
You can play as one of the outlaws or whatever they were.
You can play as the gimp tied to the front of Lord Humongous' car.
There'd be the two factions. There'd be the factions that have the gas and the faction that wants the gas. And you get to pick your classes compared to that. You could be the guy with the mohawk.
Yes, and they will bring in Team Bondi's like face scanning technology to like do motion capture on Tina Turner's face so that you can have her leading you with you when you choose one side. Oh, and there'll be Thunderdome.
Oh yeah, there'll be Thunder. That'd be like with a PvP arena.
Yes.
Two men enter, one man leaves.
Yes, and it's Kinect supported.
Oh my god, dude, I am loving this. I'll buy a Kinect for that. I'll buy a 360 for that.
No, like they'll find a way to connect. They'll find a way to connect the Kinect to your computer, and then like your game will like you buy like the deluxe edition of the game. It'll come with like one of those spring harnesses thing that you can just attach to your ceiling. and then the Kinect will track you as you're going up and grabbing the chains off the ceiling.
Yes.
Game developers, contact us.
Yes, we'll talk.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so moving on. We got some Vita news.
Oh.
Yes, so we have some, we have the launch lineup for the European release of the Vita.
Golden Abyss, or yes. Golden Showers.
So we have Uncharted Golden Showers.
That's such a horrible name for that game. What were they thinking?
Wipeout 2048, Reality Fighters, Little Deviants, Mod Nation Racers Road Trip, Everybody's Golf, Escape Plan, Gravity Rush, Hustle Kings, Motorstorm RC, Top Darts, and Super Stardust Delta.
Wait, so the Resistance game isn't part of the launch lineup?
Not in Europe.
Huh. No. Yeah, for me, the Mod Nation Racers game sounds really fun. I played the PS3 version, and I liked it, but I basically sucked at it, so I didn't play much of it. But I think it'd be fun for a handheld game, maybe. And, of course, I'm all in for Uncharted.
And also, MotorStorm RC. If you buy the Vita version, you get access to the PS3 version, and it's the same thing you buy the PS3 version.
Yeah, have they talked about how they're going to price that with these games? I mean, we know that this is going to be a big thing with the PlayStation Vita, is that you will be able to do this with a lot of these games, be able to, you know, play it on your PS3.
Save it. Transfarring.
Transfar, yeah.
Transfarring.
How's the pricing of that? Do we think it's gonna work, or how do we think they should do it?
Well, I think that like MotorStorm RC, since like is like the name alone, I think it's gonna be released as like digital download only, so it might be like the same price on both the Vita and the PS3.
Right.
So like maybe they sell it for like $30-$40.
I hope with Sony's first party games like MotorStorm and Uncharted and Resistance when that comes out, I hope that it's just one price. And I hope when it comes to third party games, when they have these choices, they kind of like just leave it up to the developers to choose. And so that way the developers can choose to do the same thing as hopefully what Sony will do make it just one flat rate price. Or
yeah, like the publishers are the one who decide like on pricing and stuff.
We're okay, yeah.
So and like most publishers are dicks. So
what? I mean, it depends. Like,
dude, have you heard of SOPA?
Well, look, I mean, I'm going by like when you see a bunch of stuff that gets released on PSN for free, and then you see like I think it was Gears of War 2 on Xbox Live where Epic wanted to. Put these map packs for free, and Microsoft wouldn't let them. They made them make it pay. And so they finally reached an agreement where it was like, all right, we'll make it pay for this. After 3 months or some shit like that, it goes free. And Microsoft agreed to that. Hmm. So, I mean, it's that.
Well, maybe, yeah. Well, I don't know. Okay, so, it was also revealed that the Vita will come built in with Twitter, Facebook, Foursquare, and Flickr.
Facebook, man, God. Should I make a Facebook account?
Man, you got Google Plus.
I don't even know what to do with Google Plus.
Basically, what you do with Facebook.
Just connect it to your Twitter.
How do I do that?
With sign-
there should be an option somewhere.
I put a little. There's a little thing in the corner now, where it has my
Okay, so moving on. Xbox 360's latest dashboard update has now got a release date.
Okay, when am I gonna have to wait for an hour to use my Xbox? Only an hour? Not 14?
December 6th. So that is next Tuesday. Yeah, so in 1 week, we'll be getting a new update, which will come with cloud storage for game saves and player profiles, beacons for coordinating multiplayer, and a revamped interface with streamlined Kinect support, and a new suite of media partners bringing more video content. I got it in the beta for this, and it's a thing. You know, I don't own a Kinect, so I can't really scream at my Xbox to get any stuff.
Yeah. So.
So yeah, it's basically just, you know, it's more square. Like, you know how, like before, you just have, like, an entire string of squares, but now you have, like, a rectangle of squares.
Right on.
Okay.
It's very square.
Ah, I see what you did there.
Now I do, too.
Oh, you did it! You did it by accident.
Yeah. Okay, so this one, it is, this is from Giant Bomb, and this is kind of a bit of sad news. So, have you guys heard of the song Pac-Man Fever?
Yep.
No.
Okay, well, Pac-Man Fever, it was this big, like, hit song in, like, the 80s.
Sing it for us.
No, I'm not going to sing fucking Pac-Man Fever. I can't sing. Okay, so, well, it was made by these two guys called Bucker and Garcia, who released an entire album of video game-based songs. And it was actually pretty good. Like, I've only heard Pac-Man Fever, and it was actually really good. Giant Bomb, they wrote a song for Giant Bomb called Found Me the Bomb. Which is actually really good. It's just like a little 12-bar blues riff, which is insane. It's actually really good. But some sad news. Gary Garcia has died.
Yeah.
He is 63 years old. He was found dead in his home in Florida. He was found dead in his home on the 19th. So, sorry to hear about that, people.
How old was he?
63.
Okay.
Yes, the article I'm reading does not say what he died of.
I want to say in the latest Giant Bomb they said, but I could be wrong.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so moving on to some more happy news. Starhawk is getting a private multiplayer beta starting this week.
Cool.
Yes, and the people who got Uncharted 3 will get early access next year.
The people that got Uncharted 3 early?
Wait, no, people who got Uncharted 3... Okay, so I'll just read some of this. Uncharted 3 owners with vouchers will gain access early next year.
Okay.
Like, if you bought Uncharted 3, then they just randomly put in Starhawk beta vouchers?
Let's take a look.
Yes, Lex.
Yeah. As soon as I find the case, I'm on the wrong pile, and here it is. Oh, yeah, right here, Starhawk, multiplayer, public beta, Early 2012.
Mm-hmm.
You guys want me to read the code off?
No.
No.
Okay, so Starhawk is the spiritual successor to Warhawk. Warhawk was a primarily multiplayer-focused game. Starhawk will have a campaign.
Primarily multiplayer-focused? That's all there was.
I don't fucking know. I don't own a PS3.
I thought it was saying that in the article. I didn't know it was you.
I don't play no Warhawk. Yeah, Starhawk will have a proper campaign. And the beta, it will initially feature just some Capture the Flag maps, but more stuff, more stages, and more modes will be added in later. So yeah, anyone who bought Uncharted 3, look at it. You'll get early access next year.
Cool. I can't wait to try it. Even though, well,
expect a review from Shax.
Ugh. Warhawk was fun, but there's many things that were able to be done to kind of glitch or break the game and cheat. Like, people love to fucking spawn camp, like, hardcore. Like, you'd spawn in your little headquarters there, and there'd be like five people in jets right above you just waiting to throw fucking down bombs at you as soon as anyone fucking spawned. It was ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
It was horrible.
Okay, so finally, Rockstar kind of hints at the possibility of a Bully sequel.
You know what? Real quick, when the fuck are we going to get Agent on the PS3?
I don't know. I don't know what Agent is.
Agent was a game that Sony announced was exclusive to them from Rockstar. I want to say in either E3 2008 or 2009.
Oh, well, then it's never coming. It was announced that long ago and you haven't heard anything about it, then it's probably not going to be made.
It's dead.
It's dead.
Well, it was like...
It was dead on arrival.
It was some kind of deal that they had with Sony, that Rockstar had with Sony, where... I don't know what it was, where it was basically like, we'll do this, and then because of that, we'll make an exclusive game for you. And this was like... That was agreed upon a long time ago, and then what happened was, is like a year or so later, someone from Sony kind of popped in over at Rockstar and was like, hey, aren't you guys supposed to be doing an exclusive game for us? And they're like, oh, yeah. All right, yeah. So, Agent, you know, I kind of, you know, that's kind of how I like to think that that went, where they're just like looking around the room and, you know, Agent. Yeah, that's what it is, Agent. And then Sony was like, great, thanks. And then at E3, I want to say it was 09, but it could have been 08. And they're like, yeah, Agent, exclusive, Rockstar.
Okay, so now just let me get on with my story here. So in an interview that he did for Gamma Sutra, Rockstar Vice President Dan Houser had this to say about sequels, which I'll be reading verbatim. We knew that we didn't want to start doing the Bully sequel instantly at that second with those guys. Even though it is a property that, like Max, is it Max Payne, we adore and might come back to in the future. There was just no impetus to do it then. So we said, you can do Max, and then we'll see what we can do with Bully. So it was really waiting for the slot to open up and the group to open up to at least start work on it. So yeah, Bully might be coming. Bully 2 might be coming soon.
I never played Bully.
Yeah, me either. But apparently it was good.
Yeah, that's all I hear is how good it was, but... Mm-hmm.
Yes, okay, then. So finally, this is kind of a big thing that's been going around. So have either of you guys ever heard of SOPA?
Only what Jim Sterling's been going on about on Twitter.
Yeah, so SOPA stands for the Stop Online Piracy Act, which is a bill that is trying to be passed through the American Congress, so it has nothing to do with us. Which is... Nothing to do with me and Bo. Well, actually, it could. Yeah, so it's basically this thing that's going through American Congress, which is a bill that is essentially making it a criminal felony to put on, put out like any kind of media on your on a website that you don't own.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's worded and yep. Yeah, like from everything I've heard, it's worded like very ambiguously, so that it could essentially shut us down. Like, right. It could shut down us. It could shut down stuff like the Escapist. It could shut down like Giant Bomb, Destructoid, all kinds of different sites that do any kind of media YouTube. Thing at all, like YouTube. Justin.tv, Twitch.tv, Ustream.
Yeah, imagine what's going to happen to the internet, even the Canadian internet, if all the American sites that break these rules get shut down.
Yeah, because a lot of these sites are American. Our servers are technically based in America.
Not only that, our site could be cut off from America.
Yeah, so we'd end up...
Sorry, your site.
Well, it's our site.
Okay. I just didn't want to sound pretentious.
We're like three men and a website.
No.
Oh, God.
No, we're not.
I just did not want to sound pretentious like I think I suddenly own it.
Can I be Tom Selleck?
No.
Anyways,
Tom Selleck.
We could be cut off from America. And then, you know, good luck on expansion. Fuck off, Shax.
Goodbye, three men and a website.
It's just really bad news for everyone if that happens in America.
Man. So,
Shax, go write your congressman and tell him to fuck off.
Well, okay, first of all, what's driving this? Is this my government once again putting their fucking fat face somewhere where it doesn't belong? Or is there companies out there that are wanting this to go through to stop piracy?
I don't know, actually, but like...
You know what?
Like, Bobby, go ahead.
Oh, okay. I have been paying attention to this somewhat. And I'll send you guys some links for videos later so that you can become more informed for later. But basically, there are already bills in America to stop piracy, and piracy will always exist in some form. So, yeah, these companies might push for it, and really, it's the government stepping in where they don't belong. It's not the government's responsibility to protect these companies' profits.
Mm-hmm.
That's your responsibility as a company to find a way to make profit from what you do. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at all the small like YouTube content providers. They make money. They find a way.
Mm-hmm.
It's really not that hard.
Yeah. Well, you got to understand though, with the American government, is they will see this as just another way to have control over something that they right now don't have control over, and so they are more than willing to do that. I mean, even if the United States government isn't going to get anything out of this. Like, they'll be like, oh, you want us, or we feel that we should. You know, as long as it's we are taking away things or rights from people and then handing it out as we see fit, they have some kind of control over us. And that's what they want to do. They want to control every fucking thing as possible from us. They want to take away as much rights from us as possible. And this is just – I see this as just another way for our fucking government to get their fat fucking faces in our fucking privacy and fucking take our freedom and our rights away from us and hand it out in the way they want it to be handed out and the way they want it to be set up and the way they want it to be run.
Okay, enough about politics.
No, you're absolutely right about that, that the American government does absolutely want to screw things up with you.
Yeah, that's what they've always fucking done.
Yeah,
and that's how they're always will
be. I like living in Canada.
That's why it should be stopped.
I like living in Canada because the
Canadian government... Do you not realize that there are several internet spying bills going through Canadian government right now where they'll be able to read your emails and everything?
I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, no.
It's not like I'm sending anything that could hurt me in the government thing. It's like I email some potential sponsors and I email some chicks that I find posts for on Craigslist.
Oh yeah,
that's about it.
Does Canada really have people hating them as much as us in America apparently do, that they need to see that they have any kind of reason to read your emails to see if you're sending emails to someone in a Taliban organization about we're going to bomb this place in Canada?
I don't really think so. You know, like, again, people don't really – when it comes to Canada, people just don't give a fuck.
Right. See, that's what I'm saying. Like, in America, like, I really hate, like, the Patriot Act and stuff like that. But on the other hand, there's a lot of things that they do that I am totally okay with. Like, if it does protect us as a whole, okay, you know, but I don't like the idea of taking away, you know, anything or invading our privacy or anything like that. And for Canada, it just seems like that's just a way for your government to do this, and there's no reason for it. At least our government can bullshit us. And we're like, hey, you either let us read your fucking emails, or Taliban's gonna come over here and knock down two more towers. And the general public of America be like, oh shit, yeah, please, here, go through more of my luggage.
Do you guys have two more towers?
Somewhere. They could find two towers somewhere. Like, you got the Sears Tower in Chicago, hit that.
It's like, for us, like, they're going to attack, like, the CN Tower in Toronto and the Big Nickel in Sudbury.
And that's about it.
Yeah, like, I don't know, they could attack that mall in Edmonton.
I'm sure there's somewhere in America that there is the world's largest meatball that's, like, 10 stories high that they can run a plane into.
Let's just say what the Canadian government says is, the Americans are scared, so we're going to do this.
See, okay. Because, like, I feel like in Canada, if your guys' government was like, hey, we're going to make it so we get to go through your shit at the airport this much more, or we get to read your emails, you guys would go, why? Who hates us? And your government would have to be like, oh, shit.
America.
They hate America. We have to stand by them.
Yeah. It's like everyone hates America, so we have to stand by them. Why? Because if we don't, they'll hit us.
Because if we don't stand by them, then when it comes to a point when we do need a bomb for a mom, they won't lend it to us.
Now, we don't need a bomb, dude. We just, like, drop some hockey players in with a 2-4.
What we need are ships. We don't seem to have many that don't sink.
Again, get some hockey players in some 2-4. Just, like, get some hockey players, get them insanely drunk, then rope them all together, and then push them out to sea. They're buoyant.
But yeah, to get back on to SOPA, I'm gonna watch this video later that you just posted up, and I do want to get more information about it before I really make any kind of real point of view on what they're gonna do with it or what it's about. But from what I have heard about it, it's just the U.S. government trying to find one more thing that they can take rights away from Americans.
So, yeah, so anyone out there who is listening to this and is America, write your congressman, write fucking everyone, just, like, shit in their mailbox, do something, but try to get this bill, like, squashed, get it cast down as fast as possible.
I would even encourage people in other countries to
get it
write
down.
Just write to our government, whatever, I don't care. Just write a letter and have it say White House on it.
Write it to Obama. Start it, Dear Mr. Obama, long-time listener, first-time caller. please stop these dumbasses from fucking with my internet.
I mean, really, I think there should be something that people outside of America should be able to do to somehow voice their opinion, because, like you guys were saying, that that all these sites that will be affected are American sites, but it will affect you guys too. If there's no more YouTube, you guys cannot go to YouTube anymore. If there's no more Giant Bomb, then you guys can't listen to the Giant Bomb cast anymore, and you guys can't go to those websites anymore.
If there's no more Death's Door Prods, there's no more us.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it really does affect everyone, and I do feel that even people that are not in America should be able to somehow contact our government and say, sit the fuck down and stop fucking with people's rights on the internet, because now you're going to fuck with the entire world somehow.
I would not be surprised if at some point some Anonymous hacks these guys.
You know what? If there's ever a time that I'd be supportive of hacking, this would probably be it.
Yes, just find the guys who made the bill, hack their computer, fill it full of child pornography, then call the FBI.
And if you can, give them an STD.
Give them a cyber STD.
STD.
It's like send them an EXE full of syphilis. Because yeah, I've seen what syphilis does to the human skull. It is not pretty.
Ugh, God, I don't want to imagine it.
It turns their skull into Swiss cheese. Like their skull just starts like degrading from the outside. Yes, that is the glory of what happens when you study anthropology in university. You can see syphilitic skulls. Okay, so on to new releases. So for this week, the week of November 28th, starting from Monday, I guess, we have Infinity Blade 2 for the iPhone 4S and iPad. We have Heavy Fire Afghanistan for PC, which is it's on Xbox 360 also, and PS3, and Wii, and 3DS. Yes, I'm reading this stuff off of GameSpot, and they do not put all the platforms that this is available on the thing.
Yeah, you should read Giant Bombs.
I do, but they don't have all the stuff that these guys have. They don't have all the really shitty releases like Steel Armor, Blaze of War.
Why do you want to read that?
Because we need more time stuff. I don't know. Because I'm bored.
I was happy once Giant Bomb on their podcast stopped with the fucking WiiWare bullshit.
That was awesome, dude. The Nintendo World Express.
No. It was funny having them make fun of it.
The train's pulling into the station. Jeff Gerstmann's leading you through the awesomeness of Nintendo downloads. Woot woot. That's the sound of the police. Okay,
let's all do some improv. I'll do the chuk chuk chuk. You do the whoo whoo. And no. Bullywine, you can you just fuck.
Fuck off, dude. More releases. Small World Tunnels. Small World Tunnels is the third free Small World expansion for Small World.
Great.
For PC.
Tell me more.
No.
Good.
That's all that was written. Okay. We also have Jaws Ultimate Predator for the Wii and 3DS.
No more Jaws games.
Rated T for Teen.
It's the brick of shit.
It's rated T for Teen.
Oh, so Jaws with no blood.
Yes. Combat Arms Zombies for the PC. Combat Arms, now with zombies.
Okay.
Yes, Combat Arms is... What if Call of Duty was kind of shit?
It already is.
Yeah, isn't it kind of MMO? Sort of-ish?
Not really.
I mean, it burns your money like an MMO if you want good weapons.
No, you don't buy weapons with money.
And I'm just a moron.
Yes,
you gotta give hand jobs to get them.
Okay, we also have...
Yeah, buy them with money.
We also have Intertia, Escape Velocity for the iPhone and Android. It's a gravity-defying, physics-based platformer. Because there's not enough of those. And then we have Magicka, The Stars Are Left for the PC. Mm-hmm. Yes, that is a Magicka update. That is a Magicka update based off the Cthulhu mythos.
When you say update, is it an expansion pack?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and like I said, it's set in the fucking Cthulhu mythos.
I don't know anything magic other than it's a card game.
No, Magicka.
Yeah.
This is not the same thing. There's Magic the Gathering, and then there's Magicka, the Diablo-esque game where you play as a wizard.
Oh, I thought it was... Is there a Magic the Gathering video game then?
Yes, there's two.
Okay,
Yes, that's Magic the Gathering. There's Magic the Gathering Duels of the Planeswalkers and Magic the Gathering Duels of the Planeswalkers 2012.
Yeah, I guess I had those confused.
Yes. So next week, which this one is starting from December 4th, we have Mario Kart 7 for the Brick of Shit.
Wow, That's the name they came up with.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They're still holding on to that.
Fortune Street for the Wii. Yeah, so Fortune Street lets players become familiar characters from the Nintendo and Dragon Quest universes in a board game that challenges them to play the real estate and stock markets wisely to win. So it's essentially a more complicated Monopoly, but with Nintendo and Dragon Quest characters.
That sounds horribly shitty.
Yes, it does. Alright, we also have The Adventures of Tintin, the game, for the Xbox 360, PS3, and PC, and a whole bunch of other bullshit. Because we don't have enough stupid games for stupid platforms. Yes. Dr. Lautrec and the Forgotten Knights for the Brick of Shit. Immerse yourself in a mystery and adventure as in Dr. Lautrec and the Forgotten Knights. So, yeah, Just Dance 3 for the PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, and Wii.
I'll be honest, the gameplay of that game looks kind of well done.
Yeah, it looks like that thing where, like, it's kind of like this generation's DDR.
Yeah, I don't exactly DDR? Have...
The Dance Dance Revolution.
Oh.
Yeah, it's just, you know, like, this game, what it is you have either a Wii Remote or a Move controller in your hand, or you're using Kinect, and then, like, someone who vaguely resembles a human being does dance moves to a song on a screen, and then you have to try to follow those moves as best you can.
It seems like it'd be easier to do with Kinect than anything else. Like, way easier.
Yeah. Like what it is like, one hand, like, for, like, the Wii and Move, what it is one hand is designated as the hand with the Wii Remote or the Move controller, and it just kind of tracks that hand.
Would you say that Dance Dance Revolution games help white people dance better?
No.
No?
No, like, what the Dance Dance Revolution games are is it's kind of like Guitar Hero, but for your feet. It's what it is there are four arrows on the floor.
Oh.
And then the arrows like come up, they have to step on the right arrows at the right time to get the rhythm down. It doesn't look like dancing at all.
I've never seen one of those in real life, but I've seen, like, TV shows and movies or shit like that where someone's always in an arcade somewhere playing on them.
They are actually pretty fun.
Hmm.
Okay. We also have Final Fantasy. Now moving on, we have Final Fantasy VI for the PlayStation Network.
Is this it? I thought it was 5 that was coming out.
Nope, 6.
Huh. Now, I see, Final Fantasy is crazy between Japan and America. So, isn't it like Final Fantasy 6 is actually 3 or 4 or something in Japanese or something like that?
Yeah, but this is like Final Fantasy 6, Final Fantasy 6. Like, the cover art has Final Fantasy VI.
No, I know, but I mean, there's something between...
Yeah, like with Europe or something. Like, Final Fantasy 6 is actually Final Fantasy 3.
Yeah, it's something crazy like that. Yeah, I don't know how exactly it works, but yeah.
It's either like Final Fantasy 3 is Final Fantasy 6 or Final Fantasy 6 is Final Fantasy 3.
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay, moving on. We have Crimecraft Gang Wars, which is the second major expansion pack to Crimecraft. And then finally, we have Outdoors Unleashed Alaska 3D and Outdoors Unleashed Africa 3D, both for the Brick of Shit.
So, wow, it's not a really great week for releases, is it?
Yes. Well, this
unless you really like Just Dance 3.
Yes. Yeah, this is kind of like the mid period between our we just had like the big release week. Like, we had Battlefield 3.
Yeah.
We had like Battlefield 3, Zelda, Skyrim, Assassin's Creed, Saints Row.
He said period. Well, what? Yeah, what is, like, the next big... I mean, is there anything coming out in December? And, I mean, in later December or anything like that?
Let's have a look.
Yeah. Okay. Or even in January. Because, like, Mass Effect 3, I don't think is coming out until fucking March.
So, by the looks of it, Star Wars The Old Republic is scheduled for release in December 20th.
I'm not paying to play that. Fuck that. As much as I want to play it.
Oh, also, just some games that were not on the other list. We have coming up this week, Voltron, Defender of the Universe for Xbox Live Marketplace and the PS3 Network.
Ooh, dude, you want to talk anime with me? Let's talk Voltron. I'm talking about American Voltron, of course.
Never seen Voltron.
You've never seen Voltron?
I grew up with Power Rangers.
Oh, yeah, that was probably that was definitely before your time. See, I was like 8 when I watched it.
Yes, you were 8. I was not born.
I haven't met your mom yet, that's why.
You are where my mom's 53.
Now.
And Canadian.
Vulture, actually,
I don't think she's ever been to Michigan.
That she told you about. Voltron and Power Rangers are actually very, very, have a lot in common, actually.
Yeah, it's just Voltron is all about, yeah, like Power Rangers are all about dinosaurs, Voltron is all about cats.
Yeah, and one's an anime cartoon. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't, anime fans that are listening to this are probably hating me right now, because I believe most of them don't see Voltron as anime, quote-unquote, but I do.
Like, if it was a cartoon drawn in Japan, it's probably anime.
I don't know if it was drawn. Well, I believe Japan had their own version of it, where the American version was obviously not as fucked up as the Japanese version.
But same thing with Power Rangers.
Power Rangers is live action.
Yeah, but so was the. Yeah, but Japan also had their own thing called Super Sentai.
I don't know what that is.
It's Power Rangers before Power Rangers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's dudes in suits who were like in their 20s but were supposed to be high school students.
Right.
Who had to fight an evil power who summoned a very small army of very similar looking dudes to fight them.
Yeah, that is Power Rangers.
Because then they made very strange pointing motions toward their belt buckle, and that started spinning and got them a suit.
Nice.
Yes, and the Asian one wore a yellow suit.
Well, I mean, okay. The Voltron, the only reason why I consider it anime, like, God, I haven't seen it at anything Voltron in so long that I don't remember what the art looked like for the cartoon. But I remember it having big eyes, because that's how Japanese like to make us round eyes look. Like, just giant round eyes.
That's how they make everybody look.
Not their people?
Yeah. Yeah,
really?
Yeah, everyone has giant ass eyes.
No, wait, I've seen pictures of like Cowboy Bebop, and that motherfucker has small eyes.
That motherfucker has eyes. Yeah, like there are two different kinds. There are like multiple different kinds of anime eyes, but like the two broad categories are the huge ass eyes that everyone associates with anime, and there is the more realistic sized eyes for like what they do for the more serious anime stuff.
I don't know. I just know that there's big round eyes, which maybe I'm ignorant.
Yes, you are.
As long as you're not calling me fucking racist for this conversation.
Well, you did say they're people.
what am I supposed to say? The Japanese people, they're people. Like, I didn't. It's not like I called them fucking.
Don't. Just don't. And finally, TAC 2, the Staff of Dreams for the PlayStation 3 Network.
What is it?
This is for this week. It's TAC 2, the Staff of Dreams for the PS3 Network.
Oh, I thought you said tattoo.
Nope. You are not getting a game about tattooing. So sit down and shut the fuck up.
We should all get matching tattoos.
No.
Yeah, it should say 3 men in a website. What?
I don't like needles.
Dude, it's just look away.
I'm terrified of needles. I'm terrified of pain. And technically there are 6 of us.
Okay.
Well, 7 if you count Ninja Kitty.
I'm doing the math right now.
Yeah, there's me, you, Bovi, Pudgetron, Darkstar, Sonic Freak, and Ninja Kitty.
See, I only think of the podcasters. I feel bad for that. But then I also feel even more bad because I always forget about Pudgetron. What's that?
I was just saying that Pudgetron is a podcaster.
Yeah, and Ninja Kitty is in on the commentary tracks.
Well, the thing about Pudgetron, and I feel bad for always forgetting about him, but it's because he's only on the anime podcast, and that's the only podcast I don't listen to that we do. Mm. So he's basically almost non-existent to me, except for, you know, like when we did the Rocket Hub one.
And who knows, might jump in the commentary track now and again.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I think the more the better on those things. Well, maybe.
I think he should do sequel week with us.
Yeah, obviously. It's going to be me. It's going to be me, Bovi, Shax, Punchatron, Ninja Kitty. Each of us choose a day. I call Wednesday.
Anyways, shall we finish up our new releases?
That is it.
That is it.
Anything else you guys want to talk about that isn't racist?
Well, that really narrows it down.
I had this whole like tirade going on about like black people and watermelon, but now I got nothing.
No, it's cornbread.
It's chicken and waffles.
Let's do it. We're doing it now. Don't look, but we're being racist.
No, we're not. It was in a movie, so it was in a movie played for comedy, so it's not racist.
It's stereotypical, not racist.
I once saw a black guy. It's not racist.
I was thinking about this at work the other day. I think I would be a good skit writer for like SNL or something.
Being a good skit writer for SNL now is not that hard.
I haven't watched it in a long time, but the last couple that I've seen are train wrecks.
The only thing that like made me watch SNL for like I started watching like the only reason I kind of watched I watched SNL for like a little bit. Like last year, and the only reason that it was even kind of entertaining for me was MacGruber.
Yeah.
It was like I'd watch the MacGruber sketch, then turn it off.
Right.
And then start watching Mad TV.
Well, the skit that I thought of is called Racist and Not Racist, and it would just kind of be like in a comical way of kind of like, all right, people, this. Everything is being called racist. Let's split this up. And it'd be like, imagine like a guy walking like up to a street corner and there being are you guys there?
Yep.
Yep.
Oh, what's going on?
Someone sent the court Bobby sent us something.
Oh, okay. Like a white guy walks up onto a street corner to like cross the street and he sees a black guy standing there and it'll say like, not racist. And the white guy will ask the black guy, be like, hey, did you catch last night's NBA game? What was the final score? And then it'd be like racist, and then the same white guy would walk up to the same black guy and be like, hey, how much do you NBA players make?
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe that could work.
I mean, it's just what made me think about that is because I don't remember the conversation exactly.
Okay,
but I remember
this is a video game podcast, okay?
Fine.
Save this for Friday.
I think we're done with video games, so shall we end this?
Yeah, so that's going to do it for this week's episode of the Death Store Prods Video Game Podcast. As always, you can follow us on Twitter. You can follow the site, at Death Store Prods. I'm at Deadman_DDProds. We got at Bobiwan and at Shax.
That would be at Fuck Shax.
At Fuck Shax. Okay, sorry. I forgot the fuck.
It's on a t-shirt.
Yes, Yeah, so like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, subscribe to us on iTunes, leave us some reviews on there. And of course, donate to the Rocket Hub. Help us out.
Yeah, definitely.
Help us get this bullshit to you in high quality audio.
And you know what, even if a few listeners don't want to or can't help us, which is very understandable, especially during this time being the holiday season.
Yeah, I probably should have waited till after the holidays to start the Rocket Hub.
Now that I'm thinking about it, that probably would have been a good idea, but that's cool, whatever. I mean, there's still 2 months after. But you know what? If you listeners want to give us a gift by spreading the word and rating our podcast and commenting on our articles and reviews.
Yes, spread us out. Help us out. Yes, help us pervade every orifice of the internet.
Spread us wide.
Yes. Help us penetrate the hole that is the internet zeitgeist.
Alright, that's a little bit more on the nose.
Help us fuck the internet.
Up.
Help us give the internet a cream pie.
Yeah! and then put it in a glass. And...
No. Anyways, see, this is what we really need the money for. I need a taser button.
Yes. Help
us. The off-topic button.
Help us goatee the internet. Help us two girls, one cup the internet.
Oh!
With knowledge. Yes, you see what happens is Bobby's going to shit out some knowledge into a cup, and then Shaq's going to drink that knowledge, and he's going to vomit that knowledge back into Bobby's ass. And I'm going to be filming it on a camera paid for by the internet.
Oh my god, end this now, we're dying.
Yes, okay, so...
End it now!
Be sure to join us tomorrow for our comic book podcast. I think James will be joining us again.
No Bovi again?
No, but James just decided to drop in.
Oh, you know,
he's a ghost, he can do that.
Do you want him instead of me?
Do you want him instead of you?
I don't know. I mean, I like doing the comic books podcast, but I think you guys should find someone more in depth with it. But
you were there for our last podcast, right? He's not exactly in depth.
Yeah, and me, I don't even know that much about comics. Anyways, let's talk about this after we say end.
Yeah. So join us tomorrow. It might be a four banger.
Yeah.
It's like might be a circle jerk.
So until
next time, I'm Dead.
I'm Bovi1.
I'm Shags, and I'm not racist. I hate everyone equally.
We'll see you guys next time.